go, here we go, here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
This is the Melchester Odyssey 21, something like that. We're looking at the Roy of the Rovers, best of the 1980s book. If you haven't got it now, why haven't you got it now? That's the question. And we're up to the 2nd of May 1981. It says best of the 80s. I've gone over this before. It doesn't. It just goes from November 1980 for a year's worth of stories, which is good because there's continuity. So, but it's not technically the best of the 80s. We will delve into other ones in the 80s after we've done this, won't we? Because
we will.
I've been acquiring lots of back issues.
There's no annual for the rest of the 80s, but you have spent what can only be described, Andy, as a small fortune.
It's come out of Iron Filings money.
Well, that's as maybe.
Did you know that?
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. I mean, that's fair enough, but I can't help but feel. We're reading the Elton John book at the moment, and I can't help but feel that I'm Bernie Taupin and you're Elton John. And you started spending the proceeds of the tour on a private jet that you've purchased from Led Zeppelin, loads of antique porcelain goods, fine art, fresh flowers delivered every day to fill your entire mansion.
Am I watching young men have sex on my snooker table then?
Yeah.
And shouting, don't come on the beers.
Oh, you've got to that bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Classic bit. It's an impossible book to name your best bit on. Because every night where I settle down, and if you're wondering, yes, it is the sort of book that's making me go to bed a bit early so I can get more pages in, right? And my pyjamas. Right, every night there's a new best bit. And I'd even forgotten that bit where it's the matter-of-fact way. My respect for Elton John has skyrocketed from this book because it's the matter-of-fact way in which he describes things that are the most outrageous and intimate and sometimes undignified details of his existence.
Yeah.
And he couldn't give two fucks.
He's now one of the greatest men who's ever lived.
Yeah.
Basically, he's rocketed up to the top of the charts.
He's like, yeah, he's and he even says near the beginning, yeah, I mean, for me, it's like we're doing Sir John Fanny Powder, literally. Because he goes, I mean, the thing about this, probably the reason I never got AIDS was that I didn't actually like having sex that much.
Yeah.
He says that, doesn't he? He goes, I didn't like having sex. For me, what I really liked was getting other people to have sex in front of me while I like playing
that
with myself.
Yeah. That was it. That was. I was thinking, yes, logistics.
Yeah, logistics. You go,
gear sex logistics.
What I really got into, what I got a real kick out of, were two people who you'd never thought would ever have sex with each other, having sex with each other in front of me. And I'd just watch it. And that way, I never got AIDS.
And I'd write it down, I'd add it to a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Amazing.
I only got angry when they jizzed on the bays. That were great.
But anyway, you are Elton John. You're off spending when the book of this like venture, the Top Flight Time Machine madness, gets written. It'll be. It was at this point where Andy and Sam began to drift apart. I mean, I've already just been discussing with you how we're booked into separate premier inns in Newcastle
on tour,
right?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. It was at this point that they started drifting apart. Andy started investing heavily in old Roy of the Rovers comics on eBay. And in the biopic movie, it'll be the bit where the guy playing me says to the guy playing you, Andy, this is out of control. And you're going, hey, nobody tells me what to do. I want more. Give me more comics.
If I want to pay $300 for a 7th of May 1982, I'm going to do it. You can't stop me. I've earned this success.
Hey, we're out of control, man. Everyone, word's got around the industry. Word is we're not even getting invited to the Thirst Podcast Festival next year. We're too dangerous. They don't need that kind of trouble. Everyone's going to be there.
Adam Buxton,
the guilty feminist, all of them.
No such thing as a fish, guys. Thirst's the new Glastonbury.
And we ain't there. And why? Because you are a liability.
You got your head in the comics.
Last year, you threw a whole Roy the Rovers and you'll have the hotel window. It hit a podcast fan on the head. Grazed them quite severely.
Tickets still available for Thirsk, by the way. anyway, back to Roy the Rovers. We're on to 2nd of May 1981, and it's one of those ones where the Roy the Rovers story was on the front cover. It's a beautiful cover as well.
It's a classic cover.
First of all, at the top, it's got Kevin Keegan and Mickey Thomas in colour.
Colour Keegan.
Now, there's a link here. There's a curse of Kevin Keegan and Mickey Thomas.
Yeah, why?
Both of whom were assaulted whilst in their vehicles. Now, this could be a Roy the Rovers related curse because, of course, Kevin Keegan was beaten with that baseball bat that we covered in the Keegan Odyssey. Mickey Thomas was stabbed in the arse while having it off with his brother-in-law's wife.
Well, he was asking for it, wasn't he?
There you go.
His brother-in-law's wife is his fucking sister, mate.
It's not, though. Oh. It's not. I tried to work this out the other day with a pen and paper, and it's not.
So
no blood link.
Maybe his brother-in-law got divorced from his sister and then married someone else, and Mickey Thomas fucked.
I think his brother-in-law is his sister's brother, and he's married someone else.
Yeah, got his sister's brother. Yeah. Hang on, you mean his wife's brother?
His wife, his wife's brother. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So there's no blood link, but the blood happened when he got stabbed in the arse.
Yeah,
but
there's a blood link for it. Hey, that's what he said when he said it. Hey, here's a fucking blood link for you, dickhead. What? That's what you get for shagging my missus.
In a car.
In a fucking car of all places. You could at least have shelled out for hotel. You tight bastard. Treat her like a lady,
I couldn't wait.
Mickey Thomas.
I would do Randy.
Talented footballer, Mickey Thomas. And you see it here, Kevin Keegan and Mickey Thomas. Time was, they were mentioned in the same breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Parallel lives like Stalin and Hitler. Not that I'm saying either of them were responsible for genocide, far from it. But funny how lives go in different directions. Because what was it, apart from shagging his missus, his brother-in-law's missus, what was Mickey Thomas's undoing? Was it fraud or was it gambling?
Forged notes. He got sent to prison for passing on forged
notes.
Let's
be honest.
I think he was passing them on to the White Ace Trainees at Wrexham where he was playing at the time.
I think it's a really good thing to get sent down for.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's something so grubby and predictable and pathetic when a footballer gets sent down for assault. Oh, it was a bar brawl. Drink had been taken. Things got out of hand. He knocked someone out. Blah, blah, blah. You think, oh, grow up. But forged notes, there's something in the David Niven about that, isn't there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a master gentleman criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gentleman thief, exactly. It'd be great if you found out that a footballer, this would have been a good Roy the Rover storyline, a footballer was moonlighting as one of those high-class jewellery thieves. So at night, he was called the Phantom, and he dressed all in black. And sort of like the milk tray man just appeared in wealthy widows' hotel suites on the Côte d'Azur, took their precious jewels, and then disappeared, leaving only a single red rose. And it turns out it was, in fact, Mickey Quinn.
Mickey, yeah. I'd prefer it if he seduced them first, though, in Dirty Rotten Scoundrel style.
Yeah.
Rather than just nipping in. And he was leading the double life, yet I keep getting away because he had an away match at Shrewsbury or something like that.
Now, this is a great story. This is a great piece of fiction. This is we could write this if we could be asked, right? That is great fan fiction.
Put it on the list. Mickey Thomas has written an autobiography, obviously.
Yeah.
In 2008, it's called Kick-Ups, Hiccups, Lock-Ups.
Here's a story.
Very good.
This is what I think of when I think of Mickey Thomas, because I was probably a bit... When Mickey Thomas was at his pomp, was probably around this era, and I was a bit too young. I'd have been six, right? So I don't quite remember him in his pomp when he was playing for... Was it United when he was in his pomp?
Yeah.
That was his pomp, right? But
this is my pomp, he would regularly say in interviews.
Hey, lads, it's pomp time for old Mickey boy. I've just signed for United. Right. But I remember him in the late 80s where he was very much a veteran, playing way beyond where most people played at that age. And he was playing for Wrexham, which I think may have been his hometown club. And they got West Ham in the cup.
Right.
And I believe they knocked us out. It was a bit one of those big FA Cup sort of games that everyone went mad about because they were down in like the third tier and West Ham were in the top tier. And the thing I remember about it was, and this is a recurring character in my stories in these podcasts, is who sorted out the tickets for me that day when I was just a 10-year-old or 11-year-old? It was our old friend, Steve Jones, off of the Pyramid Game.
Oh, of course.
Steve Jones off the Pyramid Game was doing a bit of corporate out on the pitch, right?
Yeah.
He would go out and do a little bit of a competition beforehand, right? Hello, welcome to the game. We're going to have a little bit of fun now with a penalty competition. Yeah, that kind of carry-on.
Not as much fun as the Pyramid Game, but never mind.
You know, I must have told you that once he co-hosted something on the pitch with Karen Keaton.
Did he?
Yeah, and I instinctively know.
Did you meet Karen
I instinctively
Keaton?
Know without you mentioning it that Karen Keaton would have been someone who was a bit triggery for you when you were younger.
Yeah. Highly triggery. Yeah.
I know your type now.
Yeah.
And so Karen Keaton was there. I think it was that time. But anyway, I, through my mate, Ollie, right, got to come along. He could bring a mate. Sat up in the posh seats. Guess who I sat next to? Wixie from EastEnders. Nick Berry. What? That's fucking better than you sat next to.
Fucking interested.
Nick Berry.
I'm interested, though.
Nick
Berry, who blighted the charts in 1986 with Every Loser Wins.
Every Loser
Wins.
At
the top or whatever.
Yeah. And I tell you who else was there as well. Tucker Jenkins.
That's good. Yeah. I'm impressed by that.
But he didn't talk as much. Nick Berry spoke to me, like, quite a lot.
Did he?
Yeah, he was like, oh, that was good, wasn't it, mate? And I'm like, yeah, well, I think we need to tighten up at the back. It was all that sort of banter going, man. Well, I felt really special and grown up.
How old were you?
About 10, 11, I reckon.
Mm.
Yeah.
You tree, never mind.
What? You tree? No, he wasn't being noncey, right? He was.
That's how it starts, though.
For two sweet hours of my life, Nick Berry was my friend, right? Tucker, on the other hand, who you're right, is a more impressive individual. He was a bit. He was also West Ham, but he was kind of just. He was quiet.
Keeping himself to himself.
A bit more shadowy, yeah.
I think Nick Berry, though, was in his pomp at the time, probably.
Oh, Nick Berry was.
That's what gave him the added exuberance.
He was full of it. Oi, oi! I guess he's here. That's
here.
Right, Wixie.
In his pump.
I'm in my fucking pump, lads. What's this then? West Ham, Wrexham? Should be a piece of piss. Anyway.
And what was the final score?
I think they beat us 2-1. Mickey Thomas was tremendous that day. He pulled the strings and he absolutely had West Ham's midfield on toast. And it was one of those great things that even. As a West Ham fan, I could see it. I was like, this guy's about fucking 40 and he's really fat and he's having the absolute piss. I think that was pre-arse stabbing, though, to be fair. I think he apparently lost half a yard of pace after that.
Once he lost a pint of blood out of his arse.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Roy.
But as well, he scored that free kick against Arsenal, put Arsenal out of the cup
that
as
was,
well.
I think that was the same
was
cup run, yeah.
Fucking hell.
I think he did us both.
That's like a second pump.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Not many people get that. They call it an Indian pump.
Yeah. That's what it is. Mickey Thomas's Indian pump.
Mickey Thomas's Indian pump.
And it was literally deflated as a knife penetrated his buttocks.
Yeah. And after that, he's like, well, after I got knifed in the arse, after I got knifed in the arse, my pump was over. And that was when I had to go into the forgery game. It was the only option left to me.
It was the natural thing to do. We were all into it then.
Not many options. Yeah. I was either that or become a pub landlord. That were the options in those days. I hadn't done my badges.
And of course, being a pub landlord was very steeped in forgery as well. You can't run a pub without some kind of forgery going on. Watering the beer down.
Yeah.
Shall we get into Roy the Rovers?
Roy on the front, okay. Shaking his fist with a big grin on his face. All his mates behind him, sycophantic lick spittles that they are, grinning at everything he says. Yeah, nice one, Roy.
Yeah.
And he's going, well, our fans think we can beat Kelburn, lads. So let's live up to their good faith and win. Oh, great fucking team talk, you trite dickhead.
They're all fucking stood there grinning, but they're the pricks that's got them in the bottom three.
Yeah, pathetic.
You know, they've caused a mess. They've dug the hole and they're just standing there grinning.
He doesn't make insulting
the fans.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a closed shop, right? As long as they stay in with him, they keep in the team. Because he hasn't changed this team barely at all. I mean, he swapped the goalkeeper out at one point earlier in the season.
He brought Gosden in.
But he still came back in. He brought Gosden in. He kind of had to because he'd sold, what's his name, Jeff Giles, right?
There's no war chest, is there? There's no, he can't go out and spend his way out of it.
Well, they should be because they're supposed to be one of the biggest teams in the world. They've got this big stadium and an international brand. So I don't know what the chairman's doing with the dough. But the point is, he hasn't shuffled the pack. And these players are complacent. They know that they're not going to play for their place. They know that they're on the team sheet either way. The likes of Blackie Gray and Duncan McKay, they're so in with Roy. They can have fucking 4 out of 10 performances every week. And as long as they stay matey with him and drink with him down the feathers, they're in the fucking side. That's why they're in this mess. He wants yes men. He wants yes men.
It's like the Manchester United side of the early 70s that eventually got relegated. They still had, like, fucking Bobby Charlton was still in the team past the era. George Best was hanging around and retiring and coming back.
Yeah.
And whoever else there was. Nobby Styles, was he Manchester United?
Yeah. So all they're all living off past glories, basically.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
And
here as
they
well.
Were two, and because Busby had left, the succession of managers they had in his place were too, they were too timid to drop these club legends.
Yeah, I mean, you see, he hasn't shuffled the pack. He kind of has a bit. He got two lads in out of the car park and put them in the team, but that's not really.
I think they've
shuffling the pack satisfactorily.
Did they stay in the team though? Because we haven't heard much about them.
I don't know. We haven't seen them.
He brought in a young keeper and those two lads right at the beginning from the car park, but they didn't last. These faces on the cover here are all the fucking the standards. They've been there for years. You've got fucking Funny Man, Clown Boy. What's his name again? Noel Baxter. McKay, Blackie Gray, and in with the Tash, whose name I always forget, but he's certainly a perennial.
No, I've forgotten his name.
Anyway, they've gone down to London to play Kelburn, who I believe are a thinly disguised Arsenal. that's what they're doing. Yeah, they're down in the cup, hoping that they can revive a little bit of morale with a little bit of a cup run to sort of distract from...
That's the last thing they need.
...from their terrible league form.
That's the last thing they need. So, yeah, into the story, and it says... Melchester put together a move of sheer magic. That's the subheading at the top of the page. Oh, they've put together a move of sheer magic, have they?
Sheer magic, that is.
That's the least they should be doing.
Mm.
So it starts, it says, with Melchester in danger of relegation, Roy was under the greatest pressure of his managerial career. Could the Reds, in speech marks, escape the drop and progress beyond the fifth round of the FA Cup? A lot of Melchester supporters thought they could, as the Rovers found out as they came out for the cup game. Because this is London, isn't it? Because they were on the bus down to London at the end of the last one.
Yeah.
So Kelburn, you think it's Arsenal?
I think so, because it sounds like Kilburn, so it's probably, it's North West London. I suppose it could be Spurs, it could be, I mean, Kilburn's not really, I suppose it could be, I mean, you know, it's not a million miles away from QPR. I don't know. I reckon it's Arsenal.
Well, they're playing blue, so
okay.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And there's a massive amount of Melchester fans that have come down. And they're all shouting, Melchester, Melchester. They shout. And then someone to the left just shouts, Kelburn. Which shows that they're being outsung.
Yeah.
The home team are being outsung. It's like Sunderland playing away. This is what we do in League One every week.
Yeah, in fucking League
One,
maybe.
Nothing.
Jalapeño.
If you like what you've been listening to on Top Flight Time Machine, why not consider heading over to patreon.com/Top Flight Time Machine, where you can subscribe. Not only does your monthly subscription help support this podcast and keep it going, it also gives you access to a huge amount of extra exclusive content.
Loads of extra episodes, yeah.
You'll be getting an episode a day. And
pretty
it
much.
Costs less than a fiver, less than a pint.
Whether
a
you
month.
Like it or not. Go to tftimemachine.com/ironfilings to find out more and get involved.
There's t-shirts and everything. I mean, for fuck's sake, what more do you want?
Jalapeño. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
So they're out in the tracksuits on the pitch as if it's the FA Cup final or something. They're having a walk around on the pitch before the game. And Roy's shouting. This is weird because it's what time would this be before 3 p.m. kickoff? Are they coming out for the start in tracksuits? Is that what happened?
Like it's the FA Cup final, getting a bit ahead of themselves.
Yeah.
No one ever did that. Okay, but you know what Roy's like. He's like, we treat every game. It's his new psychological plan. He's gone, what I've decided is we've got to treat every game like it's a cup final, right? And that means arriving the day before, staying in a dead flash hotel, getting suits specially made for that game, and walking out onto the pitch in full tracksuit. And we'll even have embroidered into the tracksuit FA Cup final, even if it's not a cup final.
That way, if we get to the final itself, we've got a psychological advantage.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel weird.
Yeah.
Roy says, come on, lads, let's show them our appreciation. Noel Baxter says, good grief, it's like playing at home. Our fans are drowning the chants of the Kelburn people.
The Kelburn people.
The Kelburn people.
You snobby dickhead. Oh, which end of the Kelburn people?
Roy and his fans lined up to salute their... Roy and his players lined up to salute their fans. And the fans are singing... We all agree, Melchester Rovers are magic. I don't know what the tune is to that. It's not one that I recognise.
We all agree that Melchester Rovers are magic. Don't you remember that one?
Oh, all right.
We all agree that Kelburn are tragic. That's how it went.
Yeah. There you are then. Nick Berry teach you that.
Yeah. He had it on the B-side to... what was it called again? I keep wanting to say, not every loser wins,
every
isn't
loser
it?
Wins.
I keep thinking of Anita Dobson doing, anyone can fall in love.
Oh, God.
And, you know, recently on another podcast, we were talking about putting words to instrumental theme tunes. We do that as a joke. Anita Dobson actually fucking did it, didn't she?
Cornered the market,
She sat there with Brian May going, oh, babes, I'm so sick of just playing Ange. All the time. I want to do something else, like what you do, the singing and all music and that. What could I sing to? And he goes, leave it, babes. Leave the singing and the music to me. Me and Freddie and the boys. You're an actress. It's what you were born to do. And then she's
coming. Stay in your lane, babes.
Stay in your lane, yeah? You can't write a fucking tune. I can write lyrics, yeah. But it's writing tunes that fucking counts. And you haven't got a clue how to read music or play the piano. I'll show you, Brian May. I'll come up with a top number one hit single. She comes back, she goes, I've written a number one hit single. He goes, who did the tune for you? Everyone knows you're musically illiterate. She went, well, no problem, because all I've done is set the lyrics to the EastEnders theme tune, haven't I? And it goes like this. Anyone can fall in love. That's the easy part. And he goes, oh, you silly cow. It'll never work. Plus... this is a minefield of licensing problems.
Also, it's too soppy.
Yeah. I tell you what.
No one's going to buy that.
It's no, I want to ride my bicycle.
Or fat-bottomed girls.
That's what the people want. Those are the sort of songs that get people off of their bar stools, supping their pints and chanting in the pub.
People don't want love songs.
They want Flash Gordon theme tune.
So, that thing you were talking about, she's monetized that 35 years ago.
She has, yeah. Just goes to show. So, you can laugh at Anita Dobson as much as you want, but she's fucking the one laughing at us. She still earns millions off of the royalties from that, I bet.
And on the B-side of Every Loser Wins, Nick Berry had We All Agree, EastEnders are magic.
We all agree, Coronation Street is tragic. Yeah. Coronation Street and Brookside are tragic.
And Emmerdale. So, yeah, they're singing that, and Roy thinks, people like this make you believe that anything is possible. They deserve success. Anything is possible. Space exploration in my helicopter. a second dick.
It's possible.
Anything. Yeah, so he says they deserve success, and it says, and Roy was determined to give it to them at the kickoff. And Roy intercepts a pass from Kelburn. Great interception. Racy read that pass perfectly. Close him down, Kelburn. But Kelburn can't close him down because it's too late, because he's found Vernon Elliott.
Because he's fucking Roy Race. No one closes Roy Race down.
You can't legislate against Roy Race.
Yeah.
Roy sprays the ball out wide to Vernon Elliott, and a fan shouts, show them your heels, Vern. I don't know if that's a West Indian phrase, I'm not sure.
Nah.
But the West Indian winger held the ball as Jimmy Slade powered forward. Vernon Elliott says, shouts something as he plays the ball. Do you want to do the Vernon Elliott voice?
Where is he? He goes, okay, away you go, man. And yes, listener, they have written man, which they do 80% of the time they write any dialogue for Vernon Elliott, which is why I feel justified in doing the voice. Away you go, man. Go on now.
Historically accurate.
Wagwan, Blackie Gray. All that sort of
okay,
stuff.
That's enough.
All right.
A break from midfield, someone shouts. And here comes Race. Slade is looking for him at the near post.
Finish it, you brass clat. No?
No. It doesn't say that. That's not... Right. That's not.
Okay.
As the Kelburn defence veered to cover Roy, Roy lets the ball run on across the goal, and Blackie's there to tap it in from 2 yards. Hooray!
Hey, you owe me a pint for that, Blackie. Fucking tapping. Could have scored it myself.
Yeah.
I'll let you have
it. I'll throw you a bone.
Throw you a bone. Get a goal bonus for that, and remember, I'm old 20% of it.
Here we split it. Sort it out down the feathers later on. We'll sort it out. We'll sort it out in Stringfellows afterwards. Because that's where they're headed, isn't it?
You're picking up the fucking bill. We're in London for the night, and it's always an expensive one down here.
We'll sort it out later on in Raymond's Review Bar.
It's always a pricey away day here. Yeah. Fucking worth it, though, when you see the quality of Fanny.
It says the almost effortlessly worked goal stunned the Kelburn fans. 1-0, 1-0, shouts Melchester. Kelburn is saying, they just seem to stroll through us. If this is a taste of things to come, Kelburn haven't a hope. Again, more accurate fan chat there. But as the Melchester fans waited gleefully for an avalanche of goals, Rovers are playing on the retreat. Oh, it's Jack Ross of Sunderland again. Score a goal, then sit back.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I'm getting flashbacks here. I'm getting nightmares. It equalises inevitable, I'll tell you that now. Rovers are playing on the retreat. They're allowing Kelburn to get back in the game. Surely Roy hasn't told them to sit on that one goal lead. What has Roy told them to do? He wouldn't tell them to do that, would he?
It's not the Roy way.
No, he hadn't told them anything by the looks of it. It says Roy had done no such thing. At half time, they're walking off and he's going, what's going on? We haven't put a decent attack together since we scored.
You fucking useless bunch of cunts.
You know, you'd think you'd have a word with them on the pitch during the match, but...
Yeah. Right, I'm going to have... It's that bad, I'm going to have a word with myself when we get in.
Mervyn Wallace says, don't worry, boss, Kelburn don't even look like scoring. He's like, ah, fuck him, whatever. We'll just soak it up, no problem. Mervyn Wallace found support from Vic Guthrie. We ran around like demented rabbits last week, and where did it get us? Mervyn says, another draw, so let's hang on to what we've got. Now that we're out in front, let's make sure we stay there.
Can we just have a quick chat about Mervyn Wallace's style? Very much of the era. What sort of band?
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like someone from a really awful sort of metal band from this era, right? Like, you can see him, he's got a really lank kind of proto mullet, right? Really lank and greasy, and a sort of quite thin handlebar moustache. He looks like... When he's off duty, when he's in civilian clothes, I imagine him wearing a sleeveless denim jacket with lots of patches on. What do you reckon?
He looks like he's maybe in Toto or something like that, West Coast.
Yeah, a little bit. But
AOR,
I think in a way that's been too complimentary. I think he's in a band that are sort of I could see him in Quo.
Pubs.
I could see him in Quo, but
pub rock
or
yeah.
like a yeah pub yeah. rock exactly like a Quo tribute, a band that do. Quo covers in pubs in the West Midlands area.
Yeah,
and they're called something like Viking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Longboat.
Yeah, definitely. What happened second half? Roy's protests were in vain as the game moved into the second half. Kelburn player passes the ball out to the right winger and it just bounces off his knee and runs loose.
Yeah.
And he shouts, "Oops!
Oops!" I had a dream last night, mate. I know dream chat's bad, but how often do you have dreams where you found yourself, for reasons that are inexplicable, in a top flight Premier League game?
And
you're there and you've just gone along with it because you've thought, well, I can't turn an opportunity like this down. This is amazing. I'm getting to play in the top flight. But you're thinking, fuck, how long before everyone finds out I'm shit, right? I was playing for Leicester City. Ian Walker was still in goal for Leicester City, right? And I was playing fullback, right? Left back, weirdly, not really my position. And he's rolled it out to me. And he's got the ball and he's seen me in space. And I've thought, fucking, and I'm thinking in the dream, fucking kick it. Fucking kick, don't roll it to me. Don't roll it to me. And the manager sees me and points at me, as he'd say to Ian Walker, roll it Delaney, right?
Yeah.
He's fucking roll it to me because I'm in acres of space. And my first touch in this dream is absolutely horrendous, right? The ball comes towards me at pace and I just literally put my side foot in front of it so it just bounces off like a pass straight back where it's come from. But, of course, God. It stops short. Someone runs in, scores. I look like the world's biggest cunt. Thank fuck. The ref says a redo because of something that's gone on that I can't work out. And then I woke up. That's it. But it's I know dream chat is rubbish, but all I'm saying is that it's probably one of my most common dreams. After, of course, my dream of having a shit in public, which is to do with shame.
It feels very imposter syndrome.
Yes. Yes.
That's what it is.
There you go.
You're in the Premier League there.
Yeah, imposter syndrome.
Possibly as
I do
well
suffer from that.
The inclusion of Ian Walker as well. Ian Walker had a fine head of hair, if you remember.
Oh, and it's about
some anxiety to do with... Yeah, that as well, I think.
I shouldn't be here. I'm bald. I'm 44. And I've got a shit first touch. What am I doing here?
Quick. Wake myself up. Quick, wake up.
I'll never forgive myself if I don't try to grab the opportunity with both hands. But I know it's destined to fail. Oh, well.
Anyway, oops. And the Kelburn fan shouts, "Gah! Sort yourselves out, Kelburn." Racy thinks, "I just know this isn't the way. Thank the stars, Kelburn seem utterly devoid of ideas." He's letting fucking player power take over here. He's saying, "I just know this isn't the way." He's the manager. Tell them what to do.
I couldn't give a fuck.
Fuck me.
The important thing is, right, is that when it goes to shit, I can turn around and blame them. That's why sometimes I keep my mouth shut. I let them make the decisions because that way it's them who's to blame. And I'll be the first into the chairman's office explaining that to him. And don't worry, in the media interviews afterwards, I will not hesitate to throw these cunts onto the bus. Whatever way you play it, Racy's as clean as a whistle.
If we go down, we go down. I'm locked in on a 5-year contract. I'm still getting paid the same.
There's no fucking relegation clause in mine. I get the same either way. We could go down to fucking non-league and they've got to fucking pay me.
Two contracts, player and manager.
And listen here as well. If we go down, right, to the third tier and fucking get revenues plummet as a result, right, and they are struggling to pay me my massive fucking wages, I will see this club go under and sell all its assets, the players, the ground, fucking everything, right, before I fucking waive any of my wages.
I will stand there and lock the padlock on the gates myself, personally, if I have to. I will shut this fucking thing down.
As far as I'm concerned, this club exists to fucking pay my fucking wages, right? That's it. That's the beginning and the end of this fucking relationship.
No one's taking my helicopter off me, ever.
So these lads can say and do what the fuck they want. It makes not a blind bit of difference to me and my bank account.
In the Melchester goal, Charlie Carter dealt competently with the few shots that came his way.
Competent. Very competent. Well done.
Competence. Competence is key. There's a long-range effort.
Remember what I've got printed on the dressing room roll? C-I-K. What's it stand for? Competence is key. Now get out there and do your best. Be as competent. Be the most competent you've ever been.
A shot comes in outside the box and it bounces at Charlie Carter's feet. He just collects it easily. Another pathetic long-range effort. And time's running out. It looks as if Melchester are going to coast it. But, you know, you can see what's coming. As Kelburn's effort to score became more and more frantic, one of the fans shouts, "Oh, give me strength!" as a Kelburn player shoots outside of the boot, way wide of the goal, even though Charlie Carter's position in there is incredibly suspect. He's 5 yards off his line to the left-hand side of his goal. And, "Oh, give me strength!" shouts the fan. Daily soft target, that shot's going to hit the corner flag. But no, it rebounds off a prone Kelburn player. And it rebounds into the net, obviously, with Carter being way out of position. Mm. "Oh, no," says Noel Baxter. "Hey, you're not fucking joking and pranking now, are you, prick?"
Yeah.
Goal, they shout. Kelburn 1, Melchester Rovers 1. Roy thinks, "They were asking for it." They're all asking for it.
Yeah, so it's all they now. When it's going well, yeah, it's yeah. we, or usually I. But as soon as there's something goes wrong, it's they. Fucking pricks. I hate Melchester Rovers. They're a shit club.
I'll sign for these blue cunts. They look good.
Wouldn't mind living in London either. How I work it is. Yeah. Right, I'll leave Penn and the kids up in Melchester, because, you know, they won't want to relocate, and the lad's got his special school up there and all the rest of it, right? And change confuses him, right?
All his friends.
How I'll spin it to Penn is that it's much easier for me to have one of them pied-a-terres down here in fucking London in the week, right? Because if not, all the travel will be awful, right? And then, you know, on Sundays after a game, I'll come back and spend a bit of time with her and the kids. That way, fucking racy all week long. It's the fucking dream scenario. The fucking reins are off. I'll try and get Blackie a deal as part of it. You know, I'll have to bring him with me as my mate, right? I will fucking tear this fucking town and you arsehole.
So, yeah, it's there. They were asking for it. The Rovers are so desperate to win something, they could wind up losing everything. Unless we can force a replay.
Oh, well, he says that in bold as if it's some really ingenious fucking bit of footballing strategy he suddenly worked out. Yeah. Hey, that's why I get paid the big bucks. I've thought a way out of this. It's a little loophole. I've read up in the football books, right? Apparently, there's a loophole called a replay. What it basically means is you get another go. Don't worry, lads. I'll do all the research for you.
I mean, fucking hell, Roy, you're in replay territory right now. A few seconds ago, you were in going through to the next round territory.
It's fine. Settle for a draw, we'll get a fucking replay.
But as he said, time was running out, so maybe they will force a replay, maybe they won't. We'll find out next time, because that's it from this one.
Yeah.
That's the end of that issue, and it says at the bottom, the preview for the next one, could this be the blackest season in Melchester's history?
Mm. Bit racist.
Don't use language like that anymore, but there we are. Mark's at a 10 for that one.
9.
Yeah, it was a good one. 9.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Good action. Nice. Yeah.
So there we are. That's it from another edition of Roy the Rovers. We'll be back with another one next week. Tell your friends.
I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah, go fucking tell us. You're not interested.
Dear Sam and Andy, I'm a big fan of your podcast, but I did feel that the previous Roy of the Rovers episode was slightly below. Yeah, fuck off. Go listen to the football ramble, dickhead.
It's fucking ear yours. Go on. You have a go, you fucking pal. Right. Ta-da.
See ya.